Tappers, what's up? It is the Monday edition of the Daily Tap for March the 16th. Hope you guys all had a good weekend as the world continues to turn on its head. We are all dealing with COVID-19 news by the minute. It seems, I wouldn't say crazy, but it just seems like there's something new popping up on the daily. I have a feeling the stock market will not be great tomorrow after the Fed interest rate cuts to zero. Not that you are here. This is not tapping the stock market, or I could have come up with something much more creative. Tapping the stocks. I think that might have been better. Or Stock Market Central or the Stock Market Hour. That's not really what we're talking about here. We are going to chat a little bit about the NFL certifying their players union, as that really is the only thing to talk about. No one really in the NFC has gotten signed to react to, nor have the Packers made any deals with the Kenny Clark extension or Brian Bulaga, or any other re-signings or extensions have happened in the Packer world. So we won't talk about those. We'll talk about how the Packer players lost and who will be on the right side of history when it is all said and done. We will also talk about an embarrassing story of mine when I went to a concert by myself. I am going to say that this is the first installment of Chuck Stories, which will continue on for as many as I feel comfortable telling. I don't know if I have all of them in my memory bank. So those who are friends of mine that do listen to the show, I would love if you would ask me, or you could even give me a situation. Do you have a story about a time when you did this? Or what was your favorite thing to do then? Or can you all do that? I at least have like two things banked in right now. I'm going to have to rack my brain. But this story about me going to a concert solo is a favorite of mine. I like telling it. I think it will give you some laughs. And just trying to do some different things as we're dealing with the no sports. On the blog, stonetapwi.com, you can go visit it there. We're doing some history lessons. So we are picking out what happened in the tournament on this day for Marquette and Wisconsin. And when we can, posting YouTube highlights if they're available. For Wisconsin's one, there is the full game of the 2017 matchup with Virginia Tech. That is all on YouTube, so I posted that on the Wisconsin one, so you can watch that. That's enjoyable if you kind of are looking for something to watch either Monday night or earlier in the day. Also, we are going to do the best box score of March 16th and who it belongs to. It does belong to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's all I'll say. We also will do opposing box scores because I feel like that is funny. The Bucks had some years where they could be laughed at, and so we have to appreciate those as well. That will transition to best Brewer box scores in April, and then we'll still do Bucks ones, but it'll be a little harder to find those box scores as the months go on. April, I think you're just going to get really random, and then we're going to start getting playoffs. For the Brewers, it'll be just best box score. Who had a great night, whether it was at the pitching mound, whether baseball, you got to dig through a lot. So I might only do the last 20 years for baseball or the last 25 years because baseball is like every day, right? It's not like basketball where they take off days. So you type in, 316 into Basketball Reference, you're not getting every day. So I don't know, baseball might have to scale it back a little bit because that's a lot. That's yeoman's work. I don't know if I have the time to go through all of that. But we're going to at least try to have some fun and try to keep you guys interested and entertained. And yeah, maybe we'll get some NFL news, which definitely helps things out. And the NFL is the star of the show. Before we get started on the whole CBA passing and everything like that, the only things that to note that it looks like we're going to be without sports till June. That seems to be the case. That's at least from what I'm gathering. More and more restaurants and bars are shutting down. I would imagine that Wisconsin will be like New York and Chicago and Boston that will, you know, keep it to curbside or, you know, pickup only. A lot of bars and restaurants here in Milwaukee have already taken those steps. I saw notes from Uncle Wolfie's Tavern, Good Kind, I believe La Miranda and Engine Company Number 3 are also doing that. Odd Duck is closing for a couple days, and then they're figuring out their own takeout menu. I will say this. Support those people. Support those support those who do not have, you know, that are going to be going through this right now in the hospitality world, because it's going to be ugly for them. It's not going to be pretty. We are going to see a lot of places shut down. We're going to see a lot of workers, chefs, servers that are out of jobs, that can't right now afford bills, and that are going to have to look for something. Bartenders too. That's a tough thing, I think, for some people to grasp. Some people are all about the social distancing and believe that social distancing is going to save us. I will say this, you need to do some stuff to get yourself out of the house, whether it's going for a walk, whether it is just, you know, enjoying the out. It's not an airborne disease. You can't catch it just in the air. Droplets of air will not get you. So, you know, even if you're not with a bunch of people, get out of the house a little bit, because we are going to go stir crazy. And that worries me. And it worries me because I look at it like when you're trying to be healthy, right? And you're like, the first 2 weeks are great. You're like, all right, we're on this good path. We're eating so well. We're being healthy. We might have lost a little weight. We're looking fit. And then that third week comes around and you're like, God damn, I really want that fucking cheeseburger. I really want that cheeseburger. And I worry that so many people are going to have that third week, like, I really want that cheeseburger. And so I'm not advocating going out, but I am advocating trying to, you know, spend time with friends, you know, four or five people, six people, you know, don't just completely hole up. And also too, if you have depression, if you're going through a lot of shit where it makes you anxious, or you're an extrovert like your boy, talk to people, have conversations, get on FaceTime, get on the phone, you know, just try to do shit that isn't, you know, just the normal, hey, I'm going to watch and binge every show. Currently, I'm watching Breaking Bad. I don't know if you've heard of that program, but I am watching that. And I'm maybe the last person on Earth to watch that. And what I will say, too, about COVID-19 is, so there have been 18 strands of this before. 18 of them. Beat them all. We have an 18-0 record against COVID. We are worried that this is the strand that could, you know, wipe us out a little bit. And I think that is it's a real fear. And I do think that, and I'm not trying to be Alex Jones here. I'm not trying to be a deep state person. Like, you don't have to unfollow me. I promise. Okay. I do think there's something else here. There's something else that they're not exactly telling us. They're not exactly telling us. And that there is one couple nuggets that are, if this thing gets out of control, it could be absolutely deadly. And we have to do all of these social distancing and flattening the curve. And maybe the other thing too is, I think they're hoping that maybe with this and with the distancing, that they can kind of eradicate it or flatline it earlier than expected. When the NBA is putting out dates in mid-June, I think that's partly due with the fact that it's like the worst case scenario, right? And if it comes back earlier, everybody's going to be fucking stoked. So let's hope that's the case. And I think the Jordan doc might be coming out this week. And if the Jordan doc comes out this week, okay. That's at least something, right? We at least have that. And we'll talk about that. And I think that would be a fun thing to have, sort of a nightly conversation about the MJ doc, if I can. We'll see if I'll be able to pull that off. All right, let's talk about the CBA and how it all sort of shakes out. I thought Dan Graziano wrote a great article basically giving you an explainer of what it is and what it isn't. It passed by a little over a thousand, a little over 100 votes, not 1,000 votes, overnight. There were a lot of strong no votes from Aaron Rodgers, David Bakhtiari, Adrian Amos seemed like he was one as well, to some yes votes. I don't know if I saw any Packers that specifically said yes, obviously with Aaron Rodgers and Bakhtiari, two leaders, coming out against it. I would imagine that those who said yes are similar to those who went out this weekend. They're just not really telling anybody that they did because they don't want to be shamed or they don't want to be looked down upon by their teammates. Now, those who do not make a lot of money or lesser tier players voted yes for this thing because an extra game and there also is a minimum wage uptick. So those people voted yes. And basically from what I am gathering from the CBA or from my understanding of it, and it's very loose, it's not very strong, is that they chose now versus later. They did not want to get into a fight. They just would rather have got back to football and they would have chose to make more money in the meantime versus their player safety because they aren't really looking out for themselves in this deal. This deal is, again, owners friendly, and it's not surprising that at the end of the day, the owners won out. And the players, I think some players are happy. You know, Tom Brady tweeted out, well done, D, to DeMaurice Smith. But it is an owner-friendly situation. Even though they're making a little more money, they weren't able to get the owners off the idea of having only one bye team in the playoffs. So now that means more playoff revenue money for everyone. Which I didn't know that bye week players don't get paid during that week, or they do not get paid a game check during the bye week. So again, the lesser of the athletes, not the top tier Aaron Rodgers, Bakhtiari types, won out here because there are more of them. There are more that are in that middle, and the middle wanted to get paid. And then there aren't people who seem that are great with their finances and wanted to make sure that they had the ability to keep making money. They also did not relent on the owner's idea to make it a 17-game season. Now, that will not happen next year. It could happen as early as 2021. They still have to work out the logistics of how 17 games will work, and that'll be done through the owners. The players have given them permission. Again, not exactly looking out for player safety. There is a chance that someone could get hurt in that last game. That last game also, adding 17 games means that record books that are done, that have been done in 16 games, whatever Aaron Rodgers has set, Brett Favre, Dan Marino, any rushing record, Emmitt Smith, sack record, Michael Strahan, even though, you know, Brett Favre took a dive, all that's done in 16 games. So the record books, in a way, can kind of be thrown out once we get into that 17th game. That how can we take the record seriously that some of these guys break? If they break records now, it's going to be looked at differently. That's a weird thing, and you're like, well, that's irrelevant. That shouldn't matter to us. But we are in such a, breaking records is still a big fucking deal, no matter what sport we're in. So that sort of, all these records are kind of meant meaningless. And Aaron Rodgers is going to probably break the passing yards record. I'm not sure if he's, I don't even know how close he is. But he's going to get in that same conversation with Breeze and Brady, depending on whenever they retire. But they're still a little younger than, older than Aaron. So Aaron's going to have some chances to kind of come back if he's still playing in his early 40s. So that to me is all part of this sort of conversation about 17 games. Am I happy that they have 17 games? I'm okay with it. I'm not necessarily like gung-ho that I think it's going to make the football worse. The training camp and everything else that's going into this, they, again, did not win any power. The players, as much as the top-tier players tried to scream no and tried to explain all of the reasons why they needed to go back to the table, nobody listened. And this, we've seen this with the CBA a couple times in sports, especially in football, is that at some point the players just want to go on and play football and they don't care. And the players, you feel bad for them, and there is a lot of sympathy towards players more than ever before. And it's not that we're trying to cheer on a bunch of white guys who own teams. That's not it. But it's hard for me to be very empathetic to players when, again, they voted yes. And they have now made this bet. They could have easily voted no and started this whole process over and started to budget and get more wins for themselves. But they did not win on anything. So what are we doing here, right? It's like they still gave in to every one of the owner's requests. And so we'll see who's kind of on the right side of history for the Green Bay Packers, whether it's going to be Rodgers and Bakhtiari or if it's going to be the guys who voted yes and didn't tell anybody that they voted yes. And I don't think Aaron Rodgers is the type of guy who would hold a grudge. I know that you're laughing, who are Packer fans, who's like, he's done it to his parents. Why wouldn't he do it to his teammates? No, I think everybody's entitled to their own opinion, just like the rest of the world. They can choose, you know, whether they want to buy into I don't think Rodgers, basically what I'm trying to say, I'm not saying it well, is that Rodgers isn't going to, you know, paint them as an outcast for voting yes. But I still don't think it's going to be something talked about in the Packer locker room. Hopefully, after Rodgers, you know, sniped at his teammates for not reading and explaining why they were saying no, that actually some did read and some did communicate with him. Because if they didn't do that, then I think things could get a little awkward. And I wonder if Rodgers is like, am I just the old guy in the room? And I guarantee you that Rodgers will probably step down from president of the player of the Packers part of the union. I wouldn't be surprised at all. I wouldn't be, in my opinion, I think Rodgers has realized this is way too much hassle. Granted, now they have 10 years of sort of harmony. They can't talk about this now till 2030, but it's good to see that we're not dealing with a player strike or something like it if down the road here, because that I think would have been critical and it would have added to all the COVID-19 stress. All right, so the first edition of Chuck Stories before we get out of here today is I'm going to tell you the story about the time I went to a concert by myself. It's the only time I've went to a concert by myself. I have watched concerts alone, but I was working for a radio station at the time. So I was kind of doing work, and then I had a ticket whether I wanted to stay after I did some photographs on some social media, or I could leave. It was kind of my choice. It was optional. More times than not, because I was there for work and I was getting paid hourly, I didn't stay. I would leave. It was rare that I liked the band. I can remember when a coworker and I got like 11th row tickets to Mumford & Sons, and she was part of the pictures. I think I was just there for support. I actually really don't understand why I was there, but I got to see Mumford & Sons for basically free. That was really fucking cool. That was awesome. That was a cool perk. That job gave me a lot of perks. I mean, I worked on weekends and I didn't make a lot of money, but I saw Lady Gaga. I saw Outkast. I saw the Eagles before Don Henley died. That was one of the weirder shows I'd ever been to, because so it was Summerfest. It was the last day of Summerfest. Very hot. I'd worked 4 days, but I'd also went to Summerfest 3 days. So I was at Summerfest for 7 of the 11 days. It's the most I've ever done Summerfest in my time. I was standing for all these hours, just sweating my ass off. Then we got into the Eagles show, and everyone is sitting down. No one is standing. And it was such a fucking relief. There were some people kind of complaining, like, why are we sitting and everything? I was so happy, man. Could not have been happier. I still haven't watched the Eagles documentary on HBO. I should add that to the quarantine list. But back to the story of the going alone. So I was in high school. I believe I was a senior. Yeah, I was a senior. So I was a senior in high school, and I wanted to see the Fray. The Fray were playing at the U.S. Cellular Stage, and I really wanted to go. For some reason, I was very much into the Fray. I liked How to Save a Life. I actually really like that whole album. That album was great. I enjoyed it tremendously. It was one of my favorites that year. So when the Fray were coming to Summerfest, I thought that I had to see him. That I was, you know, when you're really into a band and you have an opportunity to see him, you want to take advantage of that. And sometimes you do it because you don't know when you're going to see that band at a free stage again. For example, my girlfriend and I saw Lizzo last summer at a free stage. And I guarantee you, well, first of all, Lizzo had the issue with the security guard. But I guarantee you Lizzo will not be on a free stage next year. If she were to come back, she would be at the amphitheater and the tickets would cost money. So there's always that worry. Now, the Fray, that Fray might have actually blown up where they played an amphitheater show. I'd have to look it back. So maybe I was on the right side there versus the wrong side. But I asked people. I was working out at the time because I was getting ready for football season. And I remember working out that morning, and because we had to be there at like 8 o'clock each morning. And I said to the guys there, I said, I really want to see the Fray. And do any of you guys want to go? They kind of were like, the Fray's lame. Like, I don't really want to go there. Don't want to waste my Wednesday. I thought I had somebody on board. He backed out. He was like, nah, I don't really want to go. At that time, like, I suck talking to girls. Like, I really think if I was better at talking to with women, and I just would have had a little bit of balls, little bit of self-confidence, and would have just asked a girl to go with me, and would have just made, like, I'm not, like, asking you on a date. I just want to see this band. No one else really wants to go with me. Like, will you go? But I didn't, because I felt like it was weird. It was like, I think people, like, said, oh, you know, I'm taking your man card for wanting to see the Fray. That's when, like, the term man card was a thing. And I was, obviously, as I was 18, I was very insecure about this sort of shit. Now, at age 31, I'll talk all the time about how I watch the Bachelor or a Bravo show that I'm watching, or, you know, I'm very comfortable in my own skin. I do have those insecure moments, but, like, when it comes to pop culture, doesn't really exist. But I didn't ask anyone. So I just decided, and then I wrestled with the idea all day to go alone or to just not go at all. And I kept kind of waffling back and forth on it. And I told my parents that I was going to go meet some friends there. And so I kind of made it seem like I wasn't going alone. Because I don't know how my parents would have felt about that. I was 18 at the time. I was a big fucking kid, like 6'4", 280, maybe 300. It wasn't like I was going to get abducted or anything like that. But I still think my parents might have been like, really, you're going alone? And they might have even been like, we'll go with you. Like, my parents always are looking out for the best interest in me. And so I went and I took the bus by myself. And I kind of am like, I can't believe I'm doing this. Like, I can't believe, like, I'm going alone to this. But this is who I really want to see. And I'll have some fun and everything like that. And then I remember I'm kind of like on the edge. Kind of on the fringe. I might have been a junior now that I'm thinking about this. This might have been my junior year. I might have been 17. So maybe that's a little bit where it was a little weirder. But doesn't matter. So getting ready for the show, I see these girls there who are in college. They're from Carroll. And I think they were, yeah. And I just lied. I was like, oh, yeah, I go to school at UWM and I'm waiting for a friend. They're coming back. And because, like, yeah, I was underage. Like, I didn't even buy beer. I wasn't asking anyone for beer. That wasn't kind of my role in the friend group when we go to Summerfest. That was my buddy Josh's role. He was the guy that always would ask for beer. And then we would sample it around and share it. That's a part of the joy of Summerfest. Or you went with some girls who would sneak in like a Ziploc bag of vodka. That was their role. I never played the role of the booze guy. Actually, I take that back. I did once, but it was at a brewery game, and I was over the age of 21. But we snuck in like a bottle of rum to put in like a Diet Pepsi, and we sipped on it the entire game. That was actually a lot of fun. Looking back on it, that was a good time. But I did not. I was not the booze guy. So I just watched this concert alone. I don't even think I made it for the full concert. Like, I think I watched it for half or maybe 75%. The memory is a little fuzzy on it. But I don't think I stayed for the whole show. I can't really tell you anything about the show. I think at some point it sunk in that I was just by myself. And being at a concert by yourself standing is a lot different than going to a movie by yourself. When you go to a movie by yourself, which I've only done once, I went to go see Uncut Gems. And honestly, I would have probably went to go see the Ben Affleck basketball movie had we not had the whole COVID-19 stuff. But I would have just... Hanging out at a movie theater by yourself, it's dark, you're eating popcorn, you're drinking soda, no one's really around you, and you just feel like you're at your house, but just with bigger chairs and a bigger screen. When you're at a concert, if you're there, like, non-standing concert at, like, the Paps or the Riverside, you can kind of have that same vibe. But when it's out in the open in Summerfest, I don't know, you just look weird. It is weird. Concerts are a hurdle for me as a... I like doing things by myself, but it's still like you want someone to talk to about the show, want to have a conversation, like you want to enjoy like music like that they enjoy too, and so you can talk about the artist and the group. So yes, that was the time I went to the Fray by myself. It was embarrassing. Oh yeah. And then to kind of add on to it, I told the guys the next day, like, yeah, I went to it by myself. And I got fucking roasted so hard. The end of that summer and then into football season, it was all about, hey, maybe you go see the Fray by yourself. I don't know. It's a joke that I don't think still gets brought up. It did get brought up for a long time after the fact. So it was something that a lot of people had fun with, which I don't blame them because it was kind of a dumb thing to do. And I should have just been a little more honest. So my takeaway from this Chuck story, and we'll tell another one tomorrow. And oh, by the way, I have no idea if we're going to do Tapping the Keg. Mitch and I didn't discuss that. This is what I'll say. This is how I'll end it. If you want to do something and no one's on board, exhaust your resources. Find as many friends that you can ask. Don't be nervous about asking the opposite sex. If you're in a relationship, it's not a big deal. They'll assume it's you're just your friend. You're not trying anything weird. But if you're single, just be like, yeah, it's not a date. I just need someone to go with, right? Don't take this the wrong way. And just have confidence. And don't let like societal things, if you're like, oh, I shouldn't like this band or I shouldn't like this artist, like, fuck that. And then, yeah, maybe you have a concert-going friend. And I will also say that if you are a friend of the program and you have no one to go to a concert with, I will call it your get out of fray card. That's very cheesy, working on my dad puns, but that is a get out of fray card. And you can use it for me and say, hey, Chuck, I want to go to a show. Do you have any interest? I probably won't pay for that show, but if you have a free ticket, I might join you when we are able to, obviously being gatherings larger than 50 people. All right, take care, guys. Have a good one. We'll be back tomorrow. Bye.